Hi, this is Robert.
And I'm Ashley.
There are countless people who tell you that they're an advocate for small businesses. They all say the same thing.
The same advice, and then they say it the same old way.
On the Business Beware Show, we tell it like it is.
We won't try to explain 100 tips to make your business more profitable.
We're here to let you know that you can fire that customer monster. You should pre-qualify your customers, and we have fun while we're doing it.
Owning a small business is a roller coaster ride. Hang on and enjoy the ride with us. Good evening, and welcome to Business Beware Show.
I'm Ashley.
It's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
It's one of those commercials where the guy, you know, says something. It's a little kid's voice or something. Yeah. I think that's great. That's good marketing.
Try and say it, Ashley.
Hello.
Oh my God. Actually, you know what? Don't do that. It's going to freak me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
It doesn't work unless it's on TV.
That's true.
On TV, it'd be fine.
Where it's got like the little bitty mouth that moves. Yeah. Like the jib jab. You know, speaking of a good laugh, I'm going to give a little shout out. I'm going to go ahead and say, AngelSoft, I have a really good marketing idea for you because of something that happened this last week when I was at the grocery store. And I've already told you the story, but, you know, I'm sure give your commentary on it. But so I was in the grocery store the other day, and there was a guy in front of me. And, I mean, like, Georgia Southern boy, you know, like, big guy and everything. And, like, there it's a
He was a man's man.
Yeah, he was. And I was looking at a magazine, so I was half paying attention, but, like,
yeah,
I heard
right.
the lady.
You were checking him out.
May have been. But, and it, you know, good smile, whatever.
Until you found out what
good hair. Yeah, it kind of changed.
Purchasing.
No, actually, it kind of gave him some cool points. I won't, you know, cool points around
the window. It's all
out
the window now, isn't it?
Yeah, so, basically, well, and so there was an older lady that was doing the checkout, and there was a girl probably like 15 or 16. She was bagging the stuff and everything, and I kind of like faintly heard what they were talking about, and then I was like, surely they're not talking about the toilet paper, like, I, you know. And sure enough, well, the lady goes, "Hey, smell this." And I'm like, "What?" So she puts the toilet paper in front of me, and so I lean over and smell it, and you smell this lovely like lavender kind of smell.
And this is like, she didn't open it.
Through the thing. You know, I mean, even like smelling coffee, you know? And so, of course, the guy's looking at me, and she said, "It's scented toilet paper." And I went, I looked at the guy, and I just paused, and I went, "You know, that smells quite lovely." And I said, "Real men use scented toilet paper." And he got so red. And of course, the girls are laughing, and, you know, I just flat out said it. And you know, he looked at me and he goes, "I'm very picky about my toilet paper." You know, like, very serious. And I thought, is there a punchline in here coming? You
yeah,
know,
like, at that point I said, "It's not mine."
I know. I was like, no, he's serious. He is really serious about it. And I think that's what took us back. But I was like, this needs to be a commercial right now. Because the fact that, like, this good-looking Georgia Southern boy that, like, is very, you know, like, "Oh, yeah, I use scented toilet paper. What are you going to say about it?" To these three women, they're like, you know, it just, I couldn't stop laughing, but something like that happened, and I thought, you know what? This would be a really good marketing thing going on with the whole thing.
It could be. Yeah. It could be.
And I learned something new. I had no idea there was scented toilet paper.
I think there's a reason for that.
Well, it worried me. I thought, okay, a guy knows that there's scented toilet paper, and I don't know about this. There's something wrong with this.
Well, it's scented for a reason. And I'll leave it at that.
Maybe that's true. And maybe that's why he didn't get red when he walked away. I looked at Lay and like,
yeah, I'm sure
he got
did.
Really red when I said that. Is that bad? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so, well, but yeah, that was my funny for the week. But AngelSoft, you know, hey, give you props.
Shout them out. AngelSoft. There's a marketing idea right there. You know, this came up last year about, Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the was they called Deflategate?
Be indicted.
He's been indicted. He came up again today, and I think like the second district U.S. court or something like that has upheld the NFL's decision to where he's going to have to have the four games. He will have a four-game suspension now.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I bet when he got that news, he needed that scented toilet paper.
He might have. You know what? I can recommend the lavender. I think it was lavender. I'm not really sure what kind of was.
I don't know if he made it use lavender, but that's all right. But yeah, they sure did. I thought that was dead. But talking about big business, and you know, how it affects everybody. I mean, that's, you know, that's big business. I mean, that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and, you know, we always try to correlate the difference between big business and small business, mom and pops and everything. And, you know, when you have something like that, something happens that could be key for your business, which, let's face it, a football team like the Patriots, that's big business. That could cost some dollars and cents mm-hmm. to everybody. And, you know, whether it's right or wrong, of course, Trump came out about an hour after that. I think an hour after that, they sent down the decision, and he had a rally up north. He says, you know, I think he's a golfing buddy with Tom Brady.
Oh, really?
He says, leave him alone. He's suffered enough. Leave him alone. He's a good guy. That's what he said.
So,
I love him. I love everybody.
Well, he is trying to win a presidency, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Never know what.
He wants his vote. That's sure.
Swing vote.
Yeah. He's probably a delegate. You know, last week we talked about some names of businesses, and I did want to touch on this again.
Oh, Lord.
Because, you know,
we always
wait to the last of our show to do this, and I think it's some of the best stuff.
No, it's true.
Well, and, you know, I sent out a tweet last week, and I told everybody on Twitter to, you know, if they had any good names, send them to us, and I got some back, and one of them...
And let me correct, he does mean tweet.
Yeah,
he says twit, but he knows what the difference is. He's not that.
Twit is short.
I wouldn't allow
twit.
You to.
I'm trying to save time here on air.
Oh, okay.
You keep interrupting me, but that's all right.
Time is money.
That's Tom Brady. So we got some sent in. It was really good. You know, last week we talked about the dirty hoe, which was, you know, garden store and you know, old man and his hoe, which was an old man who owned a backhoe and everything. And another one got sent in. It was called Homemade Burgers.
Oh, my.
That's good.
Actually, that's pretty, you know. Here, I was talking about catchy marketing with Angel Soft.
This is great stuff. I mean, Two Men and a Hoe was another one. Now, here's a good one. These are divorce lawyers, and their names is three names. It's Ditcher, Quick, and Hyde. So if you say really fast...
Ditcher,
Quick, and Hyde. Yes, you got it. You got it. Yeah,
that's
quick
pretty good.
Hide.
Yeah,
Ditcher, Quick, and Hyde. That's good. I'm they're probably male lawyers, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. Yeah,
they better be.
Yeah.
And there's a chimney sweep. I think you would really like this one. It's called Ash Wipe.
Oh my gosh. Actually, that's pretty good. I'm gonna give it that.
Ash Wipe.
You know, they should trademark that.
I've called you that for.
Like we talked about last week. But yeah, pretty much. Yes, yeah.
And I got a few more if you want to hear them. I mean, you know.
Go for it.
This is kind of
fun.
Another one's called Turd Baby. I don't know what kind of business they have. And the Turd Spot Cafe.
Oh, my.
These were all sent to me. This is great. Now, I probably should have had them take a picture of it and send it to us.
No,
not the turd.
For
clarification. Not for clarification purposes, but for, you know, to make sure it's right. And one of my favorites, you know, last week, I can't remember the one you got really tickled at. I thought, Pooping Palace is what you liked last week.
It still gets me every time.
It is. Pooping Palace. Say that fast. This one is Poo Poo Hot Pot.
I don't even want to know. Of course.
A lot of these are Asian names. So I don't know what they mean, you know, but.
Well.
Okay, and my favorite one of the week. Are you ready?
Oh, my.
PMS Firearms.
Oh, my God.
And now, you're talking to a man who raised three daughters and has been married for over 35 years. And I can tell you honestly that I would not want any woman who's on PMS to have a firearm in their hand. I don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I actually have no words.
I love that stuff. Well, I think it's funny.
I know
and
you
those
do.
Are true names, folks.
I know
I'm
you
telling
do.
You. All right. Let's get back to serious stuff. National Small Business Week is May 1st through 7th. Quit giggling. Google is offering workshops. This is really good. They're offering workshops, and I thought it was funny because, you know, I thought they would do something online, but they're offering real workshops all over the country. I'm looking at the map here, and I wish I could show it to you, but there's dots everywhere. And you can go online. I don't know. It doesn't say how to get a hold of them, though. Is that not horrible? I guess you have to Google.
Google.com.
Yeah, I guess so. And it says if you can't make it to one, they'll also be providing on-demand lessons. And some of the things they're going to talk about is get found, you know, for a small business, how to get found, how to build a website, how to grow an online business, which they ought to know about that. Custom emails with Gmail, of course, and promote with AdWorks. I guess that's probably one of their things too, is AdWorks. AdWorks Express. That's pretty cool.
AdWords or AdWorks?
AdWorks.
Works.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. AdWords.
Okay. I was like, I've heard of AdWords, but I don't know if I'm...
I can't see.
Clearly.
But that's all right. But I thought, what a great thing for Google, you know, with, you know, May 1st through 7th being a small business week.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do.
There's a lot of small business weeks going on, like with a bunch of different people.
But
there,
that helps them if they get small businesses come to them. Right.
Right.
They ain't that dumb.
We'll be back.
Well, you won't believe what I'm gonna be when it's time for me to run. I'm gonna leave this nest and give my best at the place.
Welcome back to the Business Beware Show. You know, if you have any questions and you want to send us something and, you know, see if we'll answer on the air, or you want to bug Father, not me, or send a random business name or anything else, you can learn more about us at businessbewareshow.com, or you can send over your questions to Ashley@businessbewareshow.com. And, of course, we're on Twitter and all that fun stuff, too, or we tweet, as Father would state.
That's right.
Yes.
Tweet us up.
Saving airtime. You know, speaking of, last week we were talking about copyright and trademark and all that stuff and everything. And we asked, you know, send in some stories of, you know, maybe something that's happened with you. Well, we got this one story. And it's not exactly about trademarks and copyrights, but this one person apparently hired the lawyer because they had a pretty bad, shall we say, operating agreement between each other. It was two men that were working a two-member LLC. And to basically, in a nutshell, put it this way, is they had a small agreement that they signed in the very beginning, which really didn't have anything on it, and they really, it really wasn't a written agreement, shall we say. You know, it's kind of one of those things like, yeah, we got one, but nothing's on it.
How many times have we said that?
Right. We talk about this, right?
Every show.
Very generic one, everything, and apparently it was in a leather binder, which they couldn't find. So that probably didn't help either. But the one that has submitted...
Hey, man, what happened to our filing system? Oh, the leather binder. I haven't seen it in a while.
I know. So basically the one that has sent this in, he is the one who was kind of the main guy of the company. Well, he sent in... He called a lawyer, and he wanted to hire her to help them come up with an agreement. You know what I mean? Like, to do a formal agreement. Because I guess he knew that his business partner was a little going the other way, shall we say, wanting to part ways. And he could see it in his future. Well, when the lawyer had asked him and said, you know, was going over the thing and said, well, can you bring this stuff to me and everything? He asked him, or she asked him and said, you know, well, going through the motions and everything, he said, well, we don't really have it. Well, when he didn't tell the partner about the lawyer, well, when they brought it in, the other guy goes, what the heck are you, why do we, who is this? Thinking probably is another business partner. Well, turns out it was the lawyer he hired to help with the agreement. Well, the partner freaked out, basically, and said, we don't need a lawyer and everything else, and walked out of the whole thing. Well,
I beg to differ.
I know. So basically, about 2 weeks later, when he finally realized, well, his partner, what he could foresee, his partner basically said, I'm done, I quit, we're not partners anymore. And when he called the lawyer, she was like, you know, trying to, you know, go over the whole agreement with him. Well, she goes, one question, is he on your bank account? Like, is his name on the bank account and everything? He's like, yeah. Well, sure enough, while they're trying to write up this new agreement, well, turns out, in trying to get him off the bank, he was down, the other guy who is not the non-partner anymore, was down at the bank taking out $21,000 in cash. So his name was still on the account.
In the keys.
Right, 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 basically. And so since he was taking out cash, there was nothing to do it. And since his name was still on it, the bank had to give it to him. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things that, like, he foresaw what was going on, and he should have done something. And so, lesson learned, I mean, he's probably going to have to, he said he'll probably have to sue him in court or whatever, but he was kind of saying, by the way, learn from my mistake. Make sure you have a good operating agreement between you and your business partner. And so that's coming from somebody that's been there, done that kind of thing. So, and in current, right now, probably having to sue his business partner because of what...
Well, what's bad is, here's the thing, folks. If you're going to go into a small business, the first thing to do is go into it yourself. Number one, if you do have a business where you need a partner, then you have to be very careful. I don't care if you have to go down to the grocery store and buy lavender toilet paper and write out a contract on it. And that would be better than, oh, my leather bound, whatever it is, I can't find it.
Yeah,
anymore.
They can't find it anymore. That's,
you know, and yeah. You know, something simple, basic, and, you know, a contract consists of a description, a date, and a summary of what all is supposed to be done between two people, whether it's, you know, your business and the customer. And signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, then you can have someone that, you know, would, you know,
like a witness
person. For it. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple process, and you will save yourself so much agony and time and money. Because let's face it, lawyers will tell you. I mean, there's how many times have we heard a lawyer tell someone, look, all you're going to do is spend money and you're not going to get anything. The best thing to do is probably just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how big the business is and everything else. And that's what you're putting yourself up. You're making yourself fail. You're going to make yourself fail whenever you do things like this, because it's not if, it's when.
Mm-hmm.
And more times out of not. And I don't know. It's really disheartening whenever you hear things like that, because, you know, we go over it all the time. And I think that it's, you know, I think it's a pretty simple thing. I mean, I signed a contract with Ashley.
I know.
You know,
it is very detailed.
It is very detailed.
Very detailed.
I said, I want more money. That was it. I don't get paid anything, so I wanted a little bit of money. But, you know, hopefully one day.
Well, I'm not going to tell what I wrote in there. Mine yes. was a little bit different. But we say it's a simple thing.
It's curse words.
Uh-oh. We have a lot of them, actually. Beep, beep, beep. Well, we say it's a simple thing, but I mean, how many times, like, think about even business to customer. Like, you probably get excited about a job sometimes, and you go ahead and start something when you probably shouldn't start something. Do you know what I mean? Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, you go, oh, this job's going to be great. It's going to, this project or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, you're already halfway into it and you never even did that. And then something happens and there's a fallout.
Big eyes.
Boom.
Yep.
You didn't even do anything. And now, so someone comes to you, a lawyer, whoever, goes, did you do anything in the beginning? Oh, no. I forgot.
Did you sign any change orders? Did you do this?
Right.
Did you do that? There's a lot of things that you need to take consideration. And let's face it, folks, if you've not done a big job yet, if you're in services or anything like that, if you've not done a big job yet, you need to talk to some folks that have done some things like that and get some suggestions from them, get some wisdom, because you can get burned quick and you can be out of business. And that's what we talk about all the time, about custom monsters and these customers that want to take advantage of you. And they're out there. They look for things. It's the same thing as people driving down the street mm-hmm. and waiting for someone to pull out from a stop sign and run into them, and it's their fault. I mean, you know, insurance fraud. It's the same principle. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there waiting on this to happen because they take advantage of small business people like this. That's mm-hmm. what they do. Mm-hmm. It's sad. It really is.
Well, when you said change order, it just hit me between the eyes. I learned my lesson when I was 24 years old. Working for the family business, and how, like, the people, because I didn't add something to it and I never had that piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
do you know what I mean? Because they wanted to change this, I just said, okay, we'll change it. And it was a verbal over the phone that came back to bite me. And I learned from that when I was 24, going, I will never ever do that again and not use a change order.
and it's such a simple thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to sign it, then you don't do it. Then you continue on the way that the contractor, your initial agreement talks about. It's just that simple.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking about even if you want to change the color of the icing on your cupcake for the party, get a change order.
If you'd rather have it in block letters instead of cursive, then you change it.
Right.
But those things are very simple. They're very simple to do, and it's something that you have to, in today's world, that's what people look for, and that's what you have to do as a business owner to protect yourself, and that's what you have to do as a business owner when you have a partner to protect yourself. I hate to say it, but you do.
Yeah, but get it in writing. Get everything in writing. Do everything by email.
Lavender.
Or something, yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk about types of small businesses most likely to fail. We'll be back.
Go. Welcome back to the show. Something about a song just always makes you just giddy.
It does.
I mean,
it's the beat.
Yeah. So you have to tune into the show on Saturday so you can see Dan making some moves.
I think I pulled some. That's all right.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Good thing I'm setting down.
From that eye look you just gave me. You know, we've been talking about a lot of things, but we were just talking about in the last thing with somebody submitting in about, you know, making sure you do a agreement, mm-hmm. Operating agreement or agreement between your partners or business partners or customer versus and business and everything else. And we have this question from Brenda in California. And it says, in your opinion, what is better, an already established business or one started from scratch?
You asking me, are you going to answer that?
No, I would love for you to go ahead and answer.
Well,
I already know what I think.
Well, you're not going to share it with me, huh?
No, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. I think that I've purchased businesses that have been running, up and running, and I've started business. I've started more businesses than I've purchased, up and running. And I can tell you that I believe the best thing to do is start your own business. And what have we always said? Find the niche. Mm-hmm. If you take a business, and this happened with the last business that I bought, it was a service-related business. It was just, you know, just a regular business, but it tied in well with the other businesses that we already had.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it was a complement to those. So it worked out really well. But it was hard for me to find, for the first few years, the niche part of that type of business that I wanted to gravitate the business towards, because of, mm-hmm. you know, anytime I ever look at a business, I want to be doing something that in that type of business that nobody else is doing.
Right.
And I think that's the strongest part of that business. And I think it's easier to do that if you start one up. Now I will say the negative of that is if you buy a business that already has, you know, customers, a customer base, it is easier to have that foundation and mold that business towards that niche that you want it to go into. Mm-hmm. So that would be my way I would look at each one individually before I purchased it. But still, I would say probably more times than not, I would look at starting a business from scratch. Because, you know, and another thing we talked about many times on the show is if you purchase a business, especially if it's most businesses now are LLCs or corporations, if they have, you know, stock, you don't want to purchase the stock. You want to purchase the name and like the phone number and things like that, because if you purchase the stock of the business, then you're purchasing all of the things that can come back in a year or two or more, things that you could be sued because of the previous owner or the owner of that corporation.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. of things that have been done. So a lot of things to consider there. It's a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of pros and cons to both of them.
Well, so what do you say?
Well, I'm not as old as you, and I haven't
seen
it. That's
a good thing, because you're my daughter. But it's okay.
I know. And I haven't bought a business like you have, but with starting like what I've gone through and watching family, like when you bought the other businesses and then seeing kind of the ins and out, I mean, I was put into it. So watching like the owner transition into something, cause well, and I'm,
both of them were pretty fun, weren't they?
Well, they were characters. I'll say that. But, and well, you kind of think about this, like something struck me the other day. Cause like when, we were at church, but it was even talking about the church takeover. And even though it's not a business per se, but it is, it's not. But even like a lot of people didn't like how maybe they were going to take in a different direction.
Sure.
I kind of think about that like a business sometimes. Like if you take over a new business, you know, I mean, you may have a little bit, just like you're talking about the niche, where you're trying to pave a different way, even though you're taking those customers. You may have some customers that go, I'm not really liking this, and go somewhere else. You know what I mean?
And our employees.
Right. And, well, yeah. And or. So almost, I kind of think of that as like, okay, if you start from scratch, you start yourself, and you have an idea of where you're going and everything else. I mean, you start that brand where you may have to take something else and completely rebrand it to the point where it's like, you know what I mean? Like you're having to clean house, you know, and take all this other stuff. But
and I think you have to be careful of that, because if you're looking at a business where you have to completely rebrand something or you know, almost start over from scratch, what's the use in buying it?
Right. And there has been.
Unless it's the deal of the century. Because believe me, whenever I say this, if you have to do all that, you may as well start from scratch, because you're not only going from square one forward, you're going back, then back to square one, then forward.
Right. You know. Well, and there's a lot of people that will buy it. You know, they'll buy it even though they have their own thought. They'll buy it because they want the customers. But again, what I'm saying, basically where we're meeting in the middle is going, okay, so you might as well start from scratch if you have all these other things you want to do and you already know the path you want to go down. You know what I mean? You already have the business plan together, shall we say.
Well, and here's the thing is, you know, it depends on, you know, buying a business from someone also depends on, you know, if they want out of it really bad, if they're retiring or if they're, you know, health, you know, complications or something like that, you may be able to get a real good price on it. But what you're inheriting is you're inheriting a customer base that from day one, when you first, if you purchase it May 1st, you have money coming through the door because of that customer base. And so then you're able to take that and you're able to use it and you're able to leverage many different things to get it to where you want it, to that niche type business that you want, or that's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. That's what we look for,
right?
And everything. So there's, you know, there's pros and cons both ways, just like you said. There's no doubt about it. So it depends on the business. It depends on how much you get it for. It depends on what type of business it is.
Right.
It depends on what you want to do with it. It depends on whether you buy it from a old Woodstock hippie like I bought one from, you know, one time, you know, and had trouble with and everything. So there's a lot of things, and you know, and I didn't realize I was going to have trouble with one of the business I bought, but you know, it showed its ugly head sooner or later.
Yeah.
And it was tough for a while. It really was.
Right. Well, you already have all the other stuff to deal with, but if you have that down the road on top of it, it doesn't make it any better. But
sure.
I was going to say, too, is that sometimes it depends on, too, like if you're starting a scratch business, let's say, and it's something, it's not even online. It's not much online. You know, I mean, you're having to really like, okay, what are you going to do? Are you cold calling people or are you doing word of mouth?
That's exactly right.
Like where mine is a little more like I focus more on the online audience, which gradually went to the local markets and everything else. But when you have something too that you can really focus online, I think that's easier, especially now with all the tools that you have. So I mean, that's something to consider too. So if you buy a business that like may be easier if you already have an established customer base that's like local, if you're doing a local, like let's say service business or something,
right,
versus something that's going to be thing. So there's a lot to think about,
and it has to be the right type of business, because let's face it, if you're going to online business where you're doing shipping, let's say,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're gonna ship eggs, it's hard enough to get eggs from home from the grocery store, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, load them in your cart, take them out of the cart, put them in a bag, put them in your car, your vehicle, then put them in a refrigerator. By the time you do all that, you have four or five opportunities to break the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're gonna ship those over, you know, online, and you're gonna send them to FedEx, which you know FedEx tends to break wood things and metal things at times.
Yes,
so exactly. So what I'm getting at is it depends on what type of business it's going to be and what you're going to offer your customers to.
Right.
A lot of things go into it, but the biggest thing is don't make the decision until you think all these things through, and especially if you're going to buy a business from someone else, then go in there and find out, talk to the employees, talk to some of the customers, see where they're at with the things. It depends on what size of business it is. If it's a service business, if it's something like a coffee shop, you know, you're mm-hmm. thinking about buying it, you know, go in there and sit down and watch the customers. Don't get weird or anything, but you know, I mean.
Creeper.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's, you know, a lot of things that you can do that will help not cause you a lot of heartache in the future.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things to consider, pros and cons of both sides. But, I mean, I think I agree with you as far as starting from scratch. I mean, it may be, you know, and everybody's so different, too. I mean, it may be better for somebody else to do the other thing where they do have
I think it's a
customer.
Personality thing, too, because a lot of people don't want to have – they don't want to build that customer base. But, you know, you're never stop building a customer base. Well, I say that. Let me back up on that. Sometimes you do stop because if you don't want to, you know – go on with your customer base, but you don't want to expand your business, then you need to, then you start culling the bad customers and the custom monsters, and you start getting that bottom line up in that up where you want to be. And
right.
You'll be very surprised how much you can how much money you can make, and we've proven that many yeah. times. We really have. got rid of all the weirdo customers, you know.
All the creepers sitting in the coffee shop.
Coffee shop. That's right. Okay. Well, when we come back, we really are going to talk about the businesses are most likely to fail. And it's very surprising the percentages of businesses that fail
yeah.
in the first 5 and 10 years.
Uh-oh.
We're going to talk about it. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Business Beware Show. We've been talking tonight about a lot of small business stuff, and one thing I'd like to talk about.
Small business. Well, that was a smart way to say it.
That was
good for you.
That was deep.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yes, he does. He really does. It's
bless
nothing
you.
He does. Yes. Bless your heart. One thing I did want to talk about, which I tried to talk about all last segment, but actually got a little long-winded on me.
Oh, my gosh.
And everything. But, you know, sometimes I just have to give a little bit of rope.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our agreement, I make more.
Wait a minute. Let me get my leather bag and I'll look that up. or my lavender.
Hey.
Toilet paper, and I'll see what's written on there.
Don't knock the Georgia Southern boy. That was
hopefully,
pretty awesome.
Hopefully I didn't lose a panel of the... yeah. Contract, right?
Yeah.
Oh, me. I did want to talk about business failures. And we're always talking about how often they fail and different things. And there's a new study that has come out and has got to be probably the closest thing to being the truth that will ever be written. Because it comes from the University of Tennessee.
Oh.
It's a study that they did. And it says that within the first year, 50% of small businesses fail. Within 5 years, 95% fail.
95% in 5 years?
That's what they're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course, it's been I'm sure they probably took this, you know, poll and did the study in the last, you know, well, if it did 5 years, it had to be in the last 5 years. And it's been some tough years.
Oh, yeah, really definitely. Has. I'm sure there's, like, other things that go into that whole category and everything, too.
It's whether they're mad because they won a ball game or not. And,
well, that's true.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dictates everything. With 20 or less employees, which I like this because a lot of times, you know, the government standard is small business with the government is $5 million annual gross sales a year or less, which that's mm-hmm. a big small business, let's face it. And but anyway, they're studied with 20 or less employees. 37% have a survival rate in 4 years, and 9% have a survival rate in 10 years.
That's interesting.
That's real interesting. It really is. So it looks like to me that it's a little bit better rate with a small, you know, a smaller business is what I'm reading from that. So, but some of the ones that they really talked about in here, I'm going to give you some examples, was one was family restaurants. And of course, everybody, you know, there's family restaurants everywhere.
Right.
And, you know, it's the ones we like to go to and eat because they usually have the best, usually the best food, but then also, you know, the decor and everything else, you know, it's you know,
I don't know. I've been in some questionable ones. I'm going, I don't know where you're going with that because
Ashley, but that's okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, they find it, usually they find it.
You got like the taxidermy you know. Next door to them and they,
well, that's
just kidding.
What do you think you're eating?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Moving right along.
So family restaurants is one of the ones that were one of the biggest fails.
Well, yes.
Is that right? Okay.
And the reasons why, I'll give you some reasons that why is it's pretty much across the board with small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But with family restaurants, which I've never owned a restaurant, so I don't know much about those. But from what I'm reading on the article, it seems like the same, you know, pretty much percentages are the same on how they spend their money. And it says that nearly 2/3 of every dollar the restaurant receives covers the cost of food, beverages, and labor. And so that's 2/3. Listen, you still got to pay for your rent, your utilities, your advertising, and any other incidental cost. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I mean, usually any business I'm in, I want my total, I want my ROI, my return on my income. I want to be around 30%, you know, 30-35%. That's a good business. And so they're at 33% and still hadn't paid their rent and everything.
Well, and food is so expensive.
Well, it is.
I mean,
well, you also have, you know, a lot of, you know, it can go bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't, and then what if you have a freezer problem? What if you have a pill fridge? What if you have all these different things? What about, you know,
if
something
rats.
Is, well, rats, that's exactly right.
It's like a restaurant impossible. I'm just saying.
If your laborers are rats, they'll steal it. Retail stores, you know, boutique shops, you know, things like, you know, specialty stores, as with restaurants, retail stores must also deal with high overhead. They've got to stock. Mm-hmm. They're just like the restaurant has to stock into the food and everything, which is perishable. So that's one good thing about, you know, boutique shops, I guess, unless they're like flower stores or something like that. It's not perishable, non-perishable mm-hmm. things. But still, you know, purchase inventory, and they have to pay rent, compensate workers, and all the other things goes along with it, just like any other thing. But do you know what the number one industry that they found, and it's service related, the number one, I'm behind it so you can't read it.
cheater,
as mom would say. What do you think is the number one industry that the most failure rate is? And it's a service industry. Hurry up.
Well,
your steam coming out of her head.
I don't know. The first thing that popped, that's not it. So I have no idea, honestly.
It's plumbing, heating, and air conditioning.
Oh, wow. No, I was totally off from that.
Well, they say, although they usually possess, you know, superior technical skills, and usually it's because, you know, these guys will go out on their own. They work for someone else, or they learn a trade and go out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't realize is, you know, everybody always says, when I've heard my employees say this before, man, you're making a killing. You're making all this money in the world. Whatever. And they may have superior technical skills for their type vocation, but then all of a sudden they have to become the sole employee, has to become the owner, has to take on sales, management, customer service, as well as technical aspects of the job. It's a big difference.
Oh,
so when you're thinking about opening up these places, think of everything. That's all we're trying to say. We say it every week.
Right.
You know, think of these things.
It is funny how many people say, oh, man, you're making a killing. Oh, you're doing this. It's like, yeah, would you like to come into my office and open up the books? And you can mm-hmm. understand what the... because their whole persona is that you have a good business and you have a good idea. You're doing well, which is good. But, like, I mean, even when we talk about the first, 2 to 3 years, if you break even, you're doing good.
Oh, you're doing wonderful. If you can pay yourself a salary... the first 1 to 2 years, usually in a small business, you're doing really well.
Right, but then some people don't understand that, where they go, "Oh, you mean in 2 to 3 years you're finally breaking?" I mean, and so it's like, well, I know that's pretty good actually. Like, but so when you're doing it, it's just it's a very different thing. So it's very interesting to see how people, when they go out on their own, when they've been working, you know. So, but yeah, think of everything. Don't think that it's going to be easy peasy.
Well, there's many things to rationalize whenever you want to own a business, start a business, or anything else. And the biggest thing is, best advice I give you, pray over it. And I'm serious as I can be.
That, and get lavender scented toilet paper.
Give it to your customers. We'll be back next week.